Clive Tempest speaking. Hello again. It's a lovely May day here. Blue sky. All the greens in the garden as green as they can be. The blackbird singing. You might be able to hear the blackbird. You might not. But I'm here at home again in, what is it, the fifth week of the lockdown in the United Kingdom during the great pandemic. And we'll stay in lockdown as long as the pandemic is relatively uncontrolled. Well, how we dislike situations that are uncontrolled. And equally, don't we dislike situations that are controlled? We get caught up in that, don't we? In that vice between being controlled on the one side and things being uncontrolled on the other. And that's what we have governments for, to arbitrate between those two. The Scylla and Charybdis, the two rocks in the boiling sea through which we must pass in this society. But isn't it our own duty to ourselves to know what to control about ourselves and to know what to leave uncontrolled in ourselves? How to be responsible in the situation with its needs, responding to what is required of us, and at the same time, being abandoned inside, adaptable to what changes. This situation that we're in now, this pandemic, provides us with lessons in how to live consciously. As you know, I mainly talk about this transitional period between what I call the psychological age, which reached its culmination or its zenith in the 20th century, although it had been building up for 200 or 300, 400 years before that. And what I see coming, that I nominate the age of conscious living. And our duty as true individuals working to make a contribution to this evolution of consciousness that I say is taking place, our duty is to do our best to live a little bit more consciously and so make our contribution to that change. Now, in the psychological life, we get dreadfully stuck. We get stuck with our anxiety, our worries, our thinking, our feelings. We get stuck in positions in relationship to this and to that. In a more conscious life, we have to be more fluid, more adaptable, more able to change. So in a time of change, like now, we have an opportunity given by the situation to practice living more consciously. The fact is that every situation, whether I'm talking about this global situation now, or the ordinary day-to-day situations that we normally encounter, every situation when you're living more consciously is an opportunity to see basically what's stuck in you and what can be changed. Because most situations in your psychological life provoke some kind of reaction. And the reaction is really the tension between what's stuck and what can be changed. Anyway, we'll leave that aside for the time being. The whole situation that we're in now, globally, has various lessons to teach us. And if we learn from it, then we'll actually use this opportunity to break free of the old paradigm governed by our psychological life, and move into a new place. This is only the first phase, or one of the first phases, of a major shift, which of course I don't know how long it's going to take, but a long time probably. But this is just the first phase. And we won't learn our lessons. We'll be clever enough to suppress the worst, or what we see as the worst impacts of this pandemic. And we'll get through. But meanwhile, we can detect certain patterns in what's happening, certain features of the situation. And I'll nominate three. Three ways in which we can derive benefit from the current situation. First of all, we have to recognize that we cannot depend upon our past in this situation. If you listen to the news broadcasters reporting on the pandemic, you will hear them talk about returning to a changed situation, which they describe as the new normal. Obviously, a contradiction in terms. How can the normal be new? That's just typical of the confused human brain when confronted with change. We can't know what is coming. We can't know what's coming. And we can't depend upon what was there before, can we? That's the first thing. Can't depend upon the past. Secondly, we have to live with this uncertain situation. We have no way of telling how it's going to work out. And thirdly, we have to reevaluate our dependence on others, on society as a whole. So this is all evident, isn't it? In self-isolation, in social distancing, in the economic consequences, the various threats to livelihoods, the threat to life itself. Yes, we can't depend on the past, the future's uncertain, and we're not sure what we can depend on. Now, in living a more conscious life, I would say that these three aspects of the situation that we all face demonstrate three kind of, let's call them disciplines for living a conscious life. The first is, we can't depend upon the past. The second is that we have to live with uncertainty. And the third is, we have to develop independence. So I'll say more about these. So let's start with living with uncertainty. To live with uncertainty is to face the fact of the situation. It's to face the fact of life. The fact of life is that it is uncertain. But through the psychological age, we've found a wonderful way of pretending that it's not. We've invented a future. We've invented a future that we can dream about, that we can imagine, that we can think about, that can we project our needs and desires into. Well, most people live that way. You probably live that way in some degree. There's momentum in you, isn't there? Charging up the stairs, for example, when it takes a certain amount of time to climb stairs, so why not take the time to do it? No, you've got to get up there first, to the top of the steps. Like you've got to climb up the corporation ladder to a better job, or you've got to rush from this task to the next task. You've got to shovel that next mouthful of food into you instead of allowing it to digest naturally in the body. You've got to drive straight up to the traffic lights when you can see they're already red. All these things. Momentum. To escape from uncertainty, we've created momentum. And what comes with that? Anxiety. Because anxiety is based on the future. Now, you could say that you're anxious about the future prospects not being so good because of things that your experience tells you were not so good in the past. It's true. The past carries on into the future because we like to tell ourselves that story, a continuous thread of our lives meaning something. But if you don't have a future, there's not a lot to be anxious about. Can you live moment to moment without much future? Of course, there's a natural inclination of the body to keep active, to survive. That's our self-interest. Our self-interest is to survive, to keep moving. But movement is change. Nothing wrong with going with the movement, with the potential, the creativity of the moment of life itself, which is never stuck, never stops. But what I'm talking about is our mental projection from that moment, that potential, into 1,000 possibilities. Don't live with your possibilities, just live with the potential that is inherent right now in this moment, which is fruitful and will bear fruit if you look after now. Tomorrow never comes, because by the time midnight strikes, what was today is a new today. It's always today. It's never tomorrow. Tomorrow is just a date in a diary. Now, why do I point this out, and what's it got to do with living a conscious life? Well, particularly this. I'd like you to recognize how much energy you spend, how much energy you waste in running away from uncertainty by creating a future. It takes tremendous energy to build a future and then to try and live out of it, when actually all of your vitality, all of the chi in your body is devoted to keeping it surviving now. Tremendous amounts of energy. Now, you can create that energy if you wish, in order to project forward and visualize for yourself a great and beneficial future, prosperous future. You can dream up the man you want to marry if you're a young girl. You can, as a young man, project yourself forward to the day when you have the house, the lovely house, the wife. If you're the wife, you can project yourself forward to the day when you'll be able to afford to have a new kitchen. You can work as magically as you can to devote all your energy to creating something that you desperately want. Prosperity, abundance, more. But the simple truth is that all of that is being projected into the future. And the thing about the future as a projection is that it has no end. But because the future is an illusion, the truth is everything has an end, everything has its time, everything comes and goes. And so the more energy you put into creating a future, the more you also create an end. Because the truth is, there is no future, you see. And when the end comes, all the energy you've expended will collapse into a kind of black hole of nothing. Because you have to be brought to that point. It's just the way of things. You have to be brought to the point where there is nothing in order to be persuaded that this artificially created existence, dreamt up existence, has no reality. You will be brought back to the ground, to reality. And all the energy you spent will be seen to have been wasted. Sorry. So why not, living more consciously and knowing that, conserve your energy, because you're going to need it. So we must live with uncertainty. And next, we don't want to be dependent on the past anymore. We've got all our experience. Let our experience become our knowledge, without having to refer to it as our story. We must not rely upon our past. Because our future, the uncertain future, is only the repetition in new circumstances of the uncertainty of the past that has troubled us so much, that we've had to tell ourselves a story about it. We have this story that we tell ourselves. It starts, in all probability, from the first story you tell yourself, which is that, as I say, in all probability, and you just test this for yourself, the story is there's something a bit amiss, there's something not quite right, there's something wrong with me perhaps. There's something here I don't get. You see, when we're babes in arms, infants, very young toddlers, they tell stories to us. And we learn the habit of storytelling. So we get a bit older and we start telling ourselves a story. And the moment things start to go slightly wrong, get slightly upsetting, when suddenly we're faced with some uncertainty, ooh, what's happened to Mummy and Daddy? They're arguing in the kitchen. Don't they love me anymore? You start telling ourselves a story. You start telling yourself a story. And then that story rolls into all sorts of stories we tell ourselves about our lives and our ideas and our what we're going to be, what we're not going to be. And that past rolls into the future. And our story becomes a continuity. And as we add more and more psychological layers upon that fundamental basic story, more tellings, more and more narrative. So we get this psychological crust that sits upon us and we start living out of that hard, fixed self-belief. Now, if we're going to move on, we can't depend, obviously, on any of the attitudes, opinions, commentary, self-love that's developed through living that psychological life. Now, if we're going to live a conscious life, we can't depend upon any of that old psychological stuff, can we? That old story. We've got to change. The story's got to go. There can be no new normal. The new is the new. And frankly, do you want a normality to yourself? I know you don't want an abnormality. You neither want the control to be controlled or to be uncontrolled. You want a balance between the two. You want to be able to let go when it's necessary, and you want to be firm and disciplined when it's necessary. You want to be able to adapt to the situation as it changes. Really, nothing normal about that. The norm is not the middle way. So, now let's look at that third element that I was talking about, the third discipline, if you like, cultivating independence. Now, psychologically, that sounds a bit iffy, doesn't it? A bit dubious, a bit standoffish, a bit arrogant. I'm not talking about being independent as willful. Quite the contrary. I'm talking about becoming a true individual, able to act according to the will of the moment. And that's the opposite of being willful. And I'm not talking about leaving society, abandoning people, not having right, loving connections with other people. I'm not talking about the collapse of society. I'm talking about a new paradigm for society that is not based on dependence, is not based on relationships, where one person has to take a position in relation to the other person because that's the name of the psychological game. Accusation, defense, for example. Upper and lower, higher and lower. Superior, inferior. All those positions that we take normally in society. No, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about independence, being dependent only on your own inner intelligence, your own guiding intelligence. Taking the in off independence. So you've got in and dependence. Let's go in and not be dependent on those psychological pressures that have preoccupied us normally. So this is to be a true individual, is to be responsible for yourself as much as possible and to interact with others and to serve the situation as necessary, but without being dependent, emotionally dependent, psychologically dependent. Now, I was talking about the stories we tell ourselves as children, because we've been shown by example of our parents telling us stories that that's the way to negotiate the conflicts that arise between what we can control in our lives and what we can't control. And one of the first stories we tell ourselves is this one. Oh, what just happened? I don't feel part of it anymore. Do I fit in? How do I fit in? What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be in order to fit in? Who am I supposed to become? What do they want of me? Oh, I know. If I behave in this particular way, if I tell myself the story that I'm this kind of person, then maybe they'll all accept me again. You see, absolutely fundamental to the change that's coming from the psychological age to a more conscious one, absolutely fundamental to it is the nature of that dynamic interaction between the individual and society. Our first society is our family. Currently, we all go around psychologically burdened by the conditioning that was put upon us by our families. And it doesn't matter whether you say you've had a bad start in life or a good start in life, it comes to the same thing. Your family, like a little business with its own concerns, trying to get, you know, more out of life, your family impose certain attitudes on you, shoulds, as I call them. I think if you look at it, you'll see that when you say, oh, it should be so-and-so, there's an echo there of something you learnt in childhood, something you learnt because if you obeyed a should, it meant you might fit in. You might fit into the society. The family, the society, the group, the herd, the clan, the tribe, that's used to be our security. It used to be where we went for our security. It still is, of course, while living a psychological life. It's where we find our security. So, of course, if we're taking away, removing a source of security, and suddenly we're presented with uncertainty, one of the most likely things to arise in you is a question about where you fit in. As soon as you start living a more conscious life, you're going to have to leave behind the people who held you back in the psychological life. And those people are likely to be members of your family, old friends, old colleagues, those with whom you have a shared past. So the great tension in breaking away from the psychological life and becoming more conscious, the great tension is represented by this dilemma. Where do I fit in anymore? Do I fit in anymore? And the answer to it, of course, is to give up the whole question, to be independent, non-dependent, to be able to say, I fit in because I'm fit. I'm fit for purpose. My body is fit when everything works. I am fit for purpose when everything works to my purpose. And what is my purpose? Is to be an individual, to be free, not to be dependent. I don't need to fit in anywhere. I come and I go, and the world fits in around me. Now, psychologically, of course, that sounds very arrogant and, oh, don't want that. But from a conscious point of view, can you see that the more I am what I am, just being in the body as it is here now, facing the situation as it is, the situation provides me with all sorts of events, and I interact with those without psychological reaction. I have no problem. Why should anyone have a problem with me? Well, they might, because some psychological pressure in them will rise up. But as far as I'm concerned, I have no problem with them. Let them do what they do. Let them be as they are. So let me just summarize. These three features of that I'm identifying, these three disciplines, if you like, help us to see our way through from the psychological life to the more conscious life, from a life that is too controlled and a life that is wasted, too abandoned. These three things, let me put them in simple terms so that you've got something to hold on to. Because I understand it's not necessarily easy to follow what I'm saying all the time. We have to, first of all, contain ourselves. Contain the momentum in us. Contain the anxiety. Learn how to do that. Containment is the first key to living more consciously. The second, collect yourself. Bring yourself out of the past. Stop the recollection, the recollection, the memories. Collect yourself. Bring yourself into one place here now. Stop telling your story. collect all your stories into one story that has no beginning and no end, because you're telling it every moment that you live. Collect yourself into that. And finally, connect with what you really are. Connect with what I am in the body, in this situation, as it is here now. Connect with that. Contain, collect, connect. Contain, collect, connect. Contain the drive forward. Draw back. Collect your past and bring it into the present now as one thing. And connect with that one thing. Connect with your reality. Your true individuality. Your integrity. Your authority. Your love. The truth of your life. These are the three ways I choose today to describe the way that you make your contribution to this great change, which is already now underway and which is seen in the situation that confronts us all. Now, it won't hurt for me to repeat this. The three things to take away with you from this podcast. Do your best to contain yourself, to collect yourself, to connect yourself. Contain your need to grab on to a future, to grab experience, to become anxious about what might or might not happen. Contain yourself. Collect yourself. Bring everything together so that you're no longer worried about where you fit in to this world, because you know what you are and where you are, and you stand your ground in your space, in your place. You're there, you're here, you're now, collected, not recollected. Collected. All together. One thing. And you're connected. You're connecting yourself to the principle of what you are when you're real and true and when you're most in love with life. Connect to that. Contain, collect, connect.